Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word brings us light and life. And so as we read together, open our hearts and minds, Lord, to what you're saying in preparation for the explanation that will follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Are we all at page 966? After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you, Chan, very much indeed. Well, this story is a game of two halves. We're going to think first of all about King Herod, and then we're going to think about the wise men. So let's look first of all at King Herod. And I'm going to need a volunteer who could, maybe an adult, who could be King Herod. Now, I was asking around earlier if there was someone who's good at being grumpy. And Alistair said he was very happy to do a grumpy face. So Alistair, come on forward. Now, this may look like a duvet cover, but it's actually a sort of Roman toga.
Let's put that around you. Maybe a little bit more. That's great. Something like that. That's lovely. And there we go. Crown on the head. Does that feel comfortable?
Perfect.
Could get used to that. Brilliant. Let me...
Not as good as my own.
Okay. Leslie, does he have a crown at home? King of the garden, maybe. Now, here is King Herod, and there's a picture of him there on the screen. Now, he is the king. And he was called King Herod the Great. And he was great because he did a lot of building work. He built a sort of port and some castles and all sorts of things. But he actually wasn't a very great man. He murdered his wife and a couple of his sons. So can you give him a boo, please?
Boo.
Let's see what happens in this story. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod,
boo,
magi, or wise men from the east, came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" Now, how do you think Herod feels when he hears that there's another person who's the king? Uh-oh, that's a good phrase, that's a good sound to make. "We saw the star when it rose and we've come to worship him." A king who's going to be worshipped? Well, Herod, I think, would quite like to be worshipped himself. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. Can you give us a disturbed face, please? That is very good, very disturbed. Other translations say that he was troubled, or even that he was frightened. He was frightened because another king had been born. So this is what happened. Verse 4, when he had called all... Oh, look, one more thing to notice in verse 3. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When Herod is grumpy, the whole of the city is grumpy. So can you all do a grumpy face now, please? That's good. Well done, Mary. Very good face there. Okay. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the Lord, the people who were experts in the Bible, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judah, they replied, for this is what is written in the prophet. Now, this is where I'm going to call upon my beautiful assistant to help us with what we call a sword drill. Now, don't put your Bibles under your armpits. And my beautiful wife is going to give us a sword drill. She's going to explain what we're going to do now.
Did anybody do this growing up as a kid? Yes, it's one or two. So it's called sword drill. This is a living sword, living and active. In the Bible, it's called the Bible itself. That. So you put your sword away and then it's sheath under your armpit. And in a minute, Charlie will say a verse, maybe something like John 3:16. So then you'll draw your swords, and then you have to say, John 3:16. You have to repeat it, John 3:16. No going for it yet. No putting your finger in, trying to find it ahead of time. Okay, and then you say, charge! Have to find John 3:16 as quickly as you can. As soon as you find it, you have to stand up and start reading it, and it's the first person who does that who wins. We did this loads as kids, and I still do it really. When
I think Emma, you should do the charge.
Okay.
I think she's going to lead the charge of the cavalry, and so the verse is on the screen. And when Emma says charge, we're going to ask you to look up Micah. Chapter 5, verse 2. Now, don't look yet.
Adults and children.
Adults can help the children.
You're allowed
to
look in the index
if you like.
And you can help the children near you to get ahead, or you can just do it yourself.
Top tip, it's towards the end of the Old Testament.
Near Matthew.
Okay.
Okay. So, draw your swords. Micah 5, verse 2. Repeat, hang on. Micah 5, verse 2. Charge!
Hang on. Alice was the winner. Take a seat, everyone else. Give her a round of applause.
Very much appreciated.
Alice is going to read for us from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And you can see that it's actually in the reading from Matthew as well, but ever so slightly different because there's a tiny bit of Isaiah in there as well. Here we go.
But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times.
Brilliant. Give her a round of applause. Now, I don't know how Herod is feeling about this, because now the wise men know which village or town to go to discover where the king is from. How's he looking? Still pretty grumpy. I think we could say that this king, the king who was troubled by the king. Notice the little K and the big K there. He's the little king. There's a bigger king who has been born. And it was promised in the Old Testament hundreds of years before that he would be born in a little known town. In fact, where David was from and where Ruth lived in Bethlehem. Let's find out about this king. Let's just turn back to Matthew on page 966. Back to Matthew chapter 2. Herod called the Magi secretly, found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may worship him. Do you think that he was telling the truth? Mm-mm. Herod, do you really want to go and worship this king who's been born?
I'm king.
You're king, exactly. He doesn't like it at all. Now, I once heard about a big grown man who played rugby, and he was a big guy, and he was very interested in Christianity. he began to understand. He began to look into the Bible message with some friends. But as he went on, he realized that following Jesus would mean that he would have to give up him being in charge, and he would have to let Jesus be in charge instead. And in particular, he didn't want to give up being one of the lads, and he didn't want to stand out from the crowd. So he decided not to follow Jesus. He was a little bit like King Herod because he was threatened by King Jesus. He didn't want to get off his throne and let Jesus be the king instead. And I think that this King Herod might be a little bit like some of us. Maybe even someone here today has been thinking through Christianity. But once you've understood that following Jesus means that you don't get to do what you want, you get to do what Jesus wants, it becomes a little bit painful and a little bit challenging. Do we want to get off the throne and let Jesus be king instead? Do we want to get out of the steering wheel and let Jesus drive instead? Actually, Jesus' ways are always very good. So it'll always be better for us and better for our life, even though it's sometimes hard. But Christians as well can sometimes have no-go areas. Now, it used to be said that there were some parts of Huntingdon which were no-go areas. You couldn't go under the underpasses because they were no-go areas. Now, hopefully, those times have changed. But it might be that we still have some no-go areas in our lives where we don't want other people into those areas of our lives. We don't want people to ask us questions about them. And maybe we don't want Jesus to be on the king's throne of those parts of our life. Well, Herod, he soon died, and you can read about him on Wikipedia. Jesus lived forever, and he was this king who'd been promised from hundreds of years. So we can figure out which one is the right one to follow, whether to reject Jesus like Herod does, or whether, like the wise men who we're going to see in a moment, we're right to follow Jesus and worship him. But that's the first part of our talk, and we've been thinking about the king, little k, who is troubled by the big, capital K, king. We're now going to meet the wise men, and first of all, we're going to sing about them. And I'm going to need one more volunteer. Do you guys want to stay where you are? Maybe Neville, would you be happy to come up and be a wise man? That would be lovely. And then I can hand the myrrh over to you. Yep, wise man, there you go. Lovely. Thank you very much.
It's not my nature to be a wise man.
Oh, you're a very wise man. Come on up and join these other wise men up here. Well, we've been thinking about the king who didn't like the arrival of the true king, the king who was troubled by the king. Let's think about these three wise men just for a moment. Well, we read about them in verses 9 to 12. We don't know quite how many there were. There were more than two, and maybe a whole host of them, who knows. But they did have three gifts. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Now let's have some happy faces. don't worry, you're doing great. Brilliant. Do you see the contrast there between Herod, who was grumpy, and the wise men who were overjoyed? They were so thrilled, they were so pleased that this king had been born. And on coming to the house, look, they're not in the stable anymore, so some time has gone past. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold. Empty at the moment. but there are some chocolates available from Linda at the end. Gold, because this baby was a king. The king, capital K king, the king who'd been promised for thousands of years. The king who knows far better than us how to live our lives. And then frankincense. Nathan, do you know what frankincense is?
Used in temple services as a way of part of talking to God.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Part of talking to God in the service in the temple where they swung some incense and it made a beautiful, sweet-smelling smell. It came from a gum from a tree, frankincense. And it speaks of God's holiness, because as Nathan said, it was used in the temple services and it spoke of the very presence of God. So this baby is a king, but he's a divine king. We were singing around the streets of Huntingdon, "Lo, within a manger lies he who built the starry skies." Isn't that amazing? That baby made everything. He made you and he made me. He's the king, but he is the divine king. And finally, can you remember the last gift there, Neville?
Myrrh.
Do you know what myrrh was?
Myrrh is a balm.
Absolutely, it's a balm. It was for embalming bodies. Now, that is a pretty strange gift. There's a baby about to be born any moment in our church to the MacLeod family. And I think it would be a pretty strange gift at the birth date to give a gift that speaks of the death date. Because myrrh was used to embalm bodies. And it reminds us that King Jesus, though he is the king and though he's the divine king, he's actually the divine king who's going to die. And even in verse 12, in this passage, we get a taste of that danger that he faced. Having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. As a family, we watched the story, the Nativity story. It's a film that you could download and watch on Netflix. Maybe next year, because it feels like Christmas is now past. But the three wise men were travelling from the east, and one of them says to the other, "How long have we been travelling?" And one of them says, 105 days. And he says, how long have you been grumbling? He says, 106 days, because I'm including tomorrow as well. It was a tough journey, but they got to the king, and they met King Jesus, and then Jesus had to go down into Egypt to be kept safe from King Herod. Now, the journey from Jerusalem to Bethlehem wasn't very far. The wise men who worshipped the king. It takes about 1 hour and 35 minutes by camel from Huntingdon to St. Ives. Anyone here live in St. Ives? Not far. It's just 9 miles away. 5 miles away, about 8 kilometres. It's the same kind of distance from Jerusalem down to Bethlehem. It takes about 1 hour 47 by camel, according to Google, because you've got a few more hills, but it's the same sort of distance. And they travelled all that way, and they were guided by the star. I met a scientist from Imperial College London, from the Earth Sciences Department, who had been doing some research on that star. And he used all his science and all of his planetary modelling to look back 2,000 years to try and figure out what it might have been that was that star. And some people have suggested it was a planetary conjunction, different planets coming together very brightly lit up in the star, in the sky. But he realised that there was amongst many other scientists, he realised that there was a comet in the sky around that period when Jesus was born. And he remodelled on his computer what it would have looked like living in Jerusalem, walking down the valley south towards Bethlehem as the night sky gets darker and as that comet starts to work its way across the sky as they walked closer and closer. Here's what it might have looked like. It's getting darker. You'll be able to see these better on the website in the week, but darker, and then that star comes down with its tail pointing down right over the town of Bethlehem. And these wise men, well, it was a small step for man, actually quite a few steps as they came from the east, but actually it was a giant leap for mankind, because for the first time, non-Jews were coming to the Messiah. People like you and me. Hands up if anyone here is from a Jewish background. There may be one or two. I can't see any. We had a Jewish lady in a previous church, but none of us would have normally been in God's family as non-Jews. But in God's kindness, non-Jews, people from the outside, people perhaps who didn't feel that they belong. Maybe some of us here this morning don't feel that we belong in church. Well, Jesus has come for people like you. And these wise men, they came with their gifts and they laid them down at King Jesus's feet. Jesus still demands our worship and our gifts today. Each one of us will have been given different gifts. Maybe that, like Eric Liddell, you're very fast. I can see quite a few boys in church today, and I bet some of you are really good runners. Eric Liddell used his running for God. And he said, when I run, I won't do the Scottish accent. When I run, I feel, God made me fast. And when I run, I feel God's pleasure. He laid his gift of running at God's feet, at Jesus' feet. And he went out to China where he was used. He used his running actually to rescue people from the bombs. C.S. Lewis gave the gift of his mind to King Jesus. And he laid it at Jesus' feet. And he wrote great books like The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe and the other Narnia stories which speak of Jesus. Selina, Countess of Huntingdon, she had lots of money in her treasure chest. She had a lot of gold and she laid it at Jesus' feet and used it for his glory. As we move into 2019, what will you lay at Jesus' feet? He's a wonderful king. Don't be troubled by him. Don't leave him out of certain areas of your life. Invite him in and worship him with all that you have, all that God has given you. Oh, come, let us adore him with all that we have been given. And that's what we're going to sing about now in our carol, O Come, All You Faithful. As the musicians come forward, I'm going to say a prayer, and then we're going to sing together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we've seen of King Jesus, a king, a divine king, a king who came to die that we might be forgiven and know you. Thank you that it was promised from hundreds of years before. Thank you that outsiders were welcomed in like us. Please may we not be troubled by Jesus and keep him at arm's length, but please may we lay all that we have at his feet, and may 2019 be a year where we worship Jesus with all that we have. And we pray in his name. Amen.